day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a glorious day it is in our city today. The sun is shining brightly and reflecting off the beautiful snow. It's so good to be with all of you, and it feels a little extra cozy this morning. I'm glad to welcome some of you who are visiting with us for the very first time. We're really glad that you've joined us today. Whether you're here in person or online, we're so glad to be together and hope that you feel the presence of Christ in our worship together. If you're here in the sanctuary, I hope you've had a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you. One of our practices is to register our attendance, and there are registration pads in the sanctuary that should be passed down the pew. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to register that way. And if you are visiting and looking perhaps for a place to call your church home, we would love for you to share an email address or a mailing address, phone number, or all of the above to allow us to reach out to you and begin sharing the story of West End and hearing your story as well. There's also a QR code in the bulletin that will take you to all the links to register and participate in worship in all the different ways. Speaking of bulletins, we were not sure about our numbers when we were printing bulletins because of the snow. So we are also using some 845 bulletins in this service. So if you have an 845 bulletin in your hand, it's exactly the same except for the choir anthem at the offertory. So if you really want to know what the lyrics were and you couldn't hear as well, just ask Andrew or one of our choir members, and they'll share that with you. Several announcements that as we gather, we're really excited to welcome so many of our students back. Welcome back to campus, welcome back to church, and we are starting back up with our chat and chew, which is a lunch together for all our students, both undergraduate and graduate level, and you will gather in the narthex, that area just outside the sanctuary, and walk together somewhere for lunch. Just make sure and watch your step. And we're glad to begin that tradition again with a new semester. Our evening ministries are taking place as planned, which means our confirmation will be kicking off tonight. This is a semester-long journey for our sixth graders in the congregation. If you are a sixth grader or you have a sixth grader and you haven't talked with Pastor Maggie or registered for that, please come and we'll get started on that journey. You'll gather upstairs at 5 o'clock in the third floor and just find me or Pastor Maggie today and we can tell you more about that. For the rest of us, invite you to be in prayer for these young people as they begin this really important journey in their life of faith. Our youth will move forward with their second Sunday service. They'll be going to Trinity Commons to be with the folks there, and we'll gather here at 4:45 and go there together. Martin Luther King Day is coming up a week from tomorrow, and our city celebrates in a wonderful way. I've been able to participate the past few years, and we want lots of our West Enders to participate if you're able. So next Monday, a week from tomorrow, there will be a march, a walk starting at 9 a.m., and there'll be more details about where to gather for that. And then at 10 a.m., a convocation at the Gentry Center at TSU. So be on the lookout for more details, and would love to see you there. One other announcement, if you are thinking about becoming a member, Pastor Shannon will be leading a one-day new member class on February 9th. It will start at 9:45 in the Fourth Story Theater and run through some of the second service, so 9:45 until about 11:15. So I hope you'll sign up for that and mark your calendars for that. You may notice things look a little different up here this morning. We are celebrating the reaffirmation of baptism today. We're remembering the story of Jesus' baptism and remembering the waters of baptism that continue to flow through our lives. So let us open ourselves to this time of worship together to remember that we are God's beloved, named and claimed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Friends, please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Deep flowing mystery of God, gentle living grace of God, we immerse ourselves in you. We descend into the waters of your embrace, baptized in your blessing. With Jesus, we know your delight in us, we trust your spirit in us, and we hear you calling. May praise be on our lips today as it overflows from the abundance of your grace within our hearts. Trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions before God and each other with the assurance of God's grace. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the new life you birthed in us by water and the Holy Spirit, for the washing away of our sins, for incorporating us into the Church universal, and for calling us to live in holy imitation of Christ. We confess that we have not always held up our end of the covenant. We have neglected the living water. We have parched ourselves, and we are dry and thirsty. Come, Holy Spirit, refresh us by the power of your overflowing grace. Renew our hearts today as we remember your love that washes over us and makes us whole. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
You to be seated. At this time in our service, we often have a baptism. We celebrate the sacrament of baptism many times. Today, we are engaging in that holy ritual to remind ourselves of the waters of baptism and to remember the voice that spoke at our baptism, claiming us and naming us as God's beloved. So I invite you, as we say our thanksgiving over the water, as we invite you to reaffirm your covenant that was made at your baptism, and as we invite you into a practice that we will explain in a few moments, to let this space be like the embrace of God. And I pray that each and every one of us in this space and worshiping with us online will hear the voice of God once again, naming and claiming you.
In the beginning, there was water. Water in the earth, water over the earth, water in the heavens. Life on earth began in water, in the vast and moving oceans, and water is necessary for all life on our planet. In the same way, human life begins in the water of a womb. God is present in the primordial waters, the vastness and chaos of untamed seas, and also in the intimate space and time of birth. And so the church recognizes water as a sign and symbol of life, rich in meaning and full of mystery, in the sacrament of baptism. Let us pray.
God of creation, you draw forth order from chaos, setting tides and seasons. You walk with your people through floods and tsunamis, cyclones and blizzards, bringing hope and comfort in the midst of danger, leading your people out of captivity to freedom and fulfillment. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, he heard your voice declaring him beloved, and your spirit anointed him for ministry. God of wholeness and wisdom, you have knit us together in our mother's wombs, creating us with gifts and passions and personalities that suit us to different aspects of work for your kingdom.
Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism.
Let this water be for us a reminder of your voice calling each of us, beloved.
Washing us clean, anointing us for ministry.
In all the ways you have hoped and dreamed for us.
Amen.
And now, my friends, it is our time to renew our covenant, the covenant that was first made at our baptism. And so I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in the responses to these questions of the faith, worded a little differently from what we're used to, but reaffirming that same covenant nonetheless. Let us now reaffirm our faith, renewing the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledging what God is doing for us, and affirming our commitment to the body of Christ. To say yes to Christ, we must say no to many other powers and voices that compete for our allegiance. What will you say to evil and injustice in the world?
I am created and claimed by the God of love. Evil and injustice have no claim on me.
What will you say to your own sin, past and present?
I am created and claimed by the God of love. Sin has no claim on me.
What will you say to systems and structures that deny your humanity, the humanity of others, the goodness of creation, or the sovereignty of God?
I am created and claimed by the God of love. Death and destruction have no claim on me.
What do you say to God the Creator?
I am created and claimed by the God of love. My allegiance is to God, and I trust in God's grace.
What do you say to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer?
I am created and claimed by the God of love. I seek to love, trust, and follow Jesus, fully human, fully divine, whose life, death, and resurrection are full of wisdom, mystery, and grace. In Christ I find hope of life abundant and eternal, and a glimpse of God's dream for the world.
What do you say to the Holy Spirit?
I am created and claimed by the God of love. I seek to unite with the Spirit in the work of the Church, the prayers of the saints, and the healing of the world. Through my life, may each person I meet come to know that they are created and claimed by God, called blessed and beloved, and commissioned to God's purposes in unity with the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. We're going to remember now our baptism through our movements and through our bodies. At the end of the pews, there are ribbons, blue, different shades of blue, and some pens. And we invite you to make sure everybody on your row has one of those. If you're worshiping from home, we invite you to find a piece of paper and a pen that's ink or permanent marker, and write your name on that ribbon, or write the word beloved on the ribbon, or write both on the ribbon, or make some sort of mark that is unique to you on this ribbon. And then as we begin to sing together, Shall We Gather at the River, we invite you to come as you feel led. You may want to stay in your seat and take that ribbon home with you. We also invite you, if you choose, to come forward and place that ribbon at the altar rails. Some of our choir members have already done that before us. And if you'd like to stay and pray at the rails, you are more than welcome to do so. And then after this time is over, as I am offering the sermon, we have some folks who are going to be tying those ribbons to this frame here in the shape of a river, or adding them to these ribbons that are flowing out of the font to bring them together as a reminder that we are together in the waters of baptism. I'm going to make my way around the sanctuary. If you're unable to come forward or would rather not come forward, but would like your ribbon to be part of what's happening up here, just wave to me and I'll take your ribbon and bring it up here for us. The hope is that each of you will, in this time, hear the voice of God saying to you, "You are mine and I love you."
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Old Testament, Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 585 in your new Pew Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires, you shall not burn, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. I do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offsprings from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will not say to the north, give them up, and the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created from my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the reasons we put that part of our service earlier was so that our little ones could participate also. And now is another moment for our little ones. I invite all the children to come forward who are here in the sanctuary and join us up here. And if you're worshiping from home, come a little closer to your screens, and we will have just a minute together. Come on up. We have some different things up front today, don't we? Lots of blue to remind us about the water of baptism. Come on up. So glad to see all of you. I hope some of you made a snow person.
I made a snowman.
Good, yeah. We made some snow cream. Wonderful. Lots of snow people out there. It's beautiful. Well, today we are talking about baptism, and I know some of you are baptized because I got to do your baptisms. Some of you may not be baptized yet, and that's okay too. But one of the things that we believe about baptism, it's a reminder that God loves us. It's like the mark of God's love on us that will never, ever go away. Be just a second, and I'll talk with you, okay? And that it's permanent. That God's love will always be with us. There's nothing that will ever take God's love away from us. And this morning, as I was in my office and I was putting my robe on, I saw this stole that was made before you all were born, probably. When I first came to this church, it was 7.5 years ago. And the children of the church made this for me and put their handprints on it. So some of the children who made this are teenagers now. Some of them may even be in college. I bet some of them are here today. But they put their handprints on there, and they're permanent. They stayed on here. And they did that to make me feel welcomed and to tell me that even though we were just getting to know each other, that they loved me already. And so when I wear this stole, I remember that I am loved by the people of this congregation. And that's kind of what baptism is like too. So every time we have a baptism here in church or we talk about baptism, remember that means God loves you and always will. And that will never, ever, ever change. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I thank you so much for this beautiful, colorful stole that the children of this congregation made for me. Remind me that I'm loved. We thank you so much for the waters of baptism that tell all of us we are loved by you and that will never, ever change. Thank you for your permanent and forever love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. Thank you so much for taking part in that first part with the ribbons. That was cool. Thank you. So, when I look back on the year 2024, I realize we've spent a lot of time at this font. Did you know that as a congregation, in 2024, we have celebrated the sacrament of baptism 34 times? That's almost 3 times a month. There is someone being baptized into the faith, into the family of God in our midst. One of those baptisms, thanks be to God, was an adult who visited our church and in the experience of worship had an experience of God's grace like she had never had before. And she decided to be baptized and to become a follower of Jesus. That's part of our faith story together. The other baptisms were all little ones, most of them under the age of 1, who had to be held as they were baptized. Which, you know, darn the luck. I've got to hold a baby 34 times in a year. But one of my favorite parts of the baptism, and you know it, is when I walk down these steps and I've got that baby in my arms and I come out into your midst and I invite you, you can stay seated now, but I invite you to stand and to say with me our vows as the people of God. To make our promise to love this child, to teach them about the love of God, to teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus, and to help them know what I was just telling those children a minute ago, that God's love will never, ever, ever, ever leave them. Now, I wish you could see what I get to see when I do that. And I know that some of you who worship online get a really good zoom-in shot when we do a baptism and I bring the child out here. But I get to see your faces, those of you who are in the sanctuary, and I get to see the love and delight you have for this little child, probably one you've not met before, and yet you already love them. It's amazing to see that love and delight. And it's like I'm standing in the middle of the River Jordan, right here. As if right down the center aisle of our church flow the waters of baptism. The living water that is the Spirit of Christ. And it never stops flowing. And I get to bring the child into the middle of the river and all of you are standing around with your toes in the water. And we declare God's belovedness for this child. This morning, we are celebrating and remembering the baptism of Jesus. We didn't hear that story in the scripture reading because we're in Luke's gospel, and Luke's version of the story is very short. In fact, he doesn't actually describe the baptism at all. He simply says, after Jesus was baptized and was praying, then a voice spoke to him. And the voice said to him, you are my son, the beloved. In you, I am well pleased. And we believe and we claim in our United Methodist tradition that that same voice speaks to us at our baptism, saying our name and claiming us as beloved. Now, that is so easy to believe and to see when there's a baby in the middle of the church. When you look at that innocent, perfect little child who hasn't learned how to say no yet, who hasn't started getting into the spice cabinet and dumping everything everywhere, speaking from experience there, this beautiful, innocent child, of course God loves this baby. Of course, this child is a beloved child of God. But do we believe that that same voice speaks to us? Maybe the voice spoke at our baptism when we were that little, if we were baptized as children. But I don't know about now. I mean, I've been around a long time, and I've wandered from the ways of God so many times. I've caused so much hurt. I have sinned in so many different ways. I'm so broken in so many different ways. Surely God's love for me has dimmed, if not disappeared. Surely God doesn't look upon me and say those words, the words that I think are so beautifully expressed by the prophet Isaiah, which we heard this morning. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. Surely that voice doesn't still speak to me after all these years and all this path that I've taken. But there's something about the waters of baptism. There's something about this sacrament that is not just once when we're innocent and perfect and pure. It is ongoing. It is eternal. It never washes off. One of the things we say in the ritual of baptism as we pray for the Holy Spirit upon the water is a phrase that has troubled lots of folks. I've had some of you come and talk to me about this. We say, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and this child who receives it to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness. And I've had people say to me, wash away sin? This baby doesn't have sin. It hasn't done anything to sin yet. Why do we have to say that about a child? That's a whole deep theological conversation we can have in another setting when we've got a little more time. But one of the things that has helped me embrace this liturgy is to flip some of the phrases around. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and on this person who receives it, so that throughout their life, these waters of baptism may continually again and again wash away sin, carry away the brokenness, shine up the image of God within this person, continue that sanctifying work, and that again and again throughout their lives they may be clothed in righteousness. It's an ongoing journey that we're on. And the voice of God that named you and claimed you at your baptism is continually naming and claiming you each and every day. And so part of our response is to again and again gather at the river, to come to the river, to touch the flowing waters of baptism again and again and again, so that we might hear again and again and again that voice saying, you are mine. I have called you by name. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Can you hear that voice? Because there's so many other voices. I don't know about you, but there are so many other voices clamoring for our attention, clamoring to tell us who we are and whose we are and how much we matter in the world. I've got one in my head. There are those internal voices, that inner judge, that inner critic, that's just constantly telling you you're not good enough, you're not doing it right, you're going to mess up, you're going to fail, you're not worthy. And then there are all those external voices constantly telling us you don't have enough, you're not thin enough, you're not smart enough, your house is, you don't even have a house, what's wrong with you? You don't have a car, what's wrong with you? You need this item, you need this procedure, you need this to be good and worthy. I don't go on Facebook much anymore. except every now and then to find out how y'all are doing. But when I go on there, I get these ads, because I'm a 56-year-old woman, and apparently I need intermittent fasting and wrinkle cream and a little cosmetic surgery, and I'm in danger of having gluteal tendinopathy, whatever that is. But just constant reminders, like, you're not okay the way you are. We can help you get there to who you ought to be. How many voices are telling us that all day long? Billboards, ads, Facebook, it's all around us all the time. Sometimes the people we surround ourselves with are critical and judging and telling us we're not worthy. So how do we, as the people of God, continue to hear the flowing waters of baptism flowing right down the center of our lives? How do we continue to tune in to the one voice above all other voices, reminding us every day that we are loved, that we are delightful to God, that we are worthy, that we are named and claimed, and that nothing or no one will ever take that away? That's why I need the church. That's why I need y'all. I need people that I can be with who will help see the image of God in me. I need to worship God on a regular basis. I need to be reading the scriptures and saying my prayers. Jesus heard this voice while he was praying, and the waters of baptism were still dripping down his head. All of those practices of the faith, we do them not to make ourselves worthy to God, but so that God's voice can get through all the other clamor and clatter of the world to claim us once again. Shall we gather at the river, my friends? It's flowing right through the middle of who we are. And there's a voice that is saying to you and to me and to all of us, I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the fires, they will not consume you. For you are precious in my sight and honored. And I love you.
Covenant is our commitment and promise to pray for each other. So as we come to our time of prayer this morning, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray for throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us that's on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there's gray cards in the pew racks that you can fill out and then place in the offering plates as they come around. Also ask you to take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin. Keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As a church, we mourn together with several people today. In the death of Robert Lee de Blasio on September 29th, he had services held in Hendersonville on January 4th, and among his survivors are his wife, Betty de Blasio. We mourn with Melissa Robertson and her family in the death of her grandmother, Clara Christine Bateman, who died January 4th in Normal, Illinois. She survived by her great-grandson, Cameron Robertson. We extend our sympathies to Jan Morrison in the death of her mother, Betty Stewart Heath, who died on Friday in Franklin. Her services are still pending. And as a church family, we mourn together in the death of our member, Sue Edwards, this week. A memorial service will be held on Tuesday, January 14th at Blakeford. Visitation will start at 10:30, and the service will be at 11:30. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love and grace, Thank you for the ways that you remind us of your goodness. In the beauty of the new fallen snow, in neighbors meeting and caring for one another, for clear roads and strong internet signals. God, your goodness is all around us. For the reminder that we are your beloved children, that you've called each of us by name. We are so very grateful. Give us courage, God, to live into this goodness and belovedness. When we doubt our worthiness, may we be reminded that we are created and claimed by the God of love. When we see others as less than or neglect to see them even at all, help us remember they are created and claimed by the God of love. When injustice seems never ending and the world feels and in some places is on fire, remind us that you have created and claimed all of creation as the God of love. Motivate us now to be agents of peace in a weary, confused, and heartbroken world. May we be vessels of belovedness that carry joy and hope to all that we encounter. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, who has redeemed us, who has called us by name, and given us the words to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now come together and gather our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options that are on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code that's printed in your bulletin to give digitally through our website. As we pass the plates down the row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in this beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
think through the work of the Holy Spirit, all of the images of water are flowing this way and out the doors. We have spent time in the river, in the waters of baptism, being reminded of our belovedness. And now we must follow these waters out the doors of the church and share that good news with a world that needs to hear it. So go forth to be loving, to share peace, and to proclaim the good news of God's grace to all. Amen.